And welcome back to episode 149 of the Weekly Tech Wrap with me, Jay.
And me, Carl.
Well, Carl, how are you doing?
I've got some music. I'm doing all right.
You brought your own intro music. The gremlins are in.
No. I'm doing good. Busy, but okay.
Excellent. Well, we are both coming to you from the same country this week. We are in the same, not the same physical location, but the same country, continent, time zone, you name it, we're here. So we're back this week then with a roundup of all the latest tech stories. And boy, have we got some interesting ones this week, haven't we?
Oh, yes, we have.
So we are going to cover everything from Apple. Not quite the Apple story you thought you were going to hear this week. We're going to talk about Amazon. We're going to talk about Grok. If you've not heard about Grok, you're going to hear about it now. Qualcomm and Iridium and GTA 6 news, which I'm still quite doubtful about, if I'm honest with you. And our favorite analyst, Meeching Kuo, has dropped another rumor on the iPad models for next year. But then first, come on, let's kick off with Apple first. Not the big story, but the first one, which is kind of a follow-on, isn't it, from the Scary Fast event that we had the other week.
So those of you holding out for a 27-inch iMac, you're going to be disappointed. Well, maybe. Apple have stated they have no plans to make one. Now, this is Apple we're talking about here, so the devil is in the detail on what they didn't actually say. So they didn't say, you know, you wouldn't get any other size. They just said, we won't be doing a 27-inch iMac. And actually, they said iMac and not iMac Pro. So this is Apple, man. We could end up with a 27-inch iMac Pro. We could end up with a 32-inch iMac. Who knows?
See, this is not a shock, if I'm genuinely honest with you. No. I don't think this is a surprise whatsoever. I think Apple don't see any logic in doing a 27-inch iMac because for them, the base model, the 24, is, as we talked about before, it's the iPad Air of desktop computers, isn't it? You know,
It's
I do not have a computer. I do not want a laptop, but I have no, I'm not, you know, requirements for major league technology. So this is, it's kind of exactly what it, you know, it does exactly what it says in the tin. It's all in one computer, covers all the bases, and that's it. And I suppose the 27 inches, like, well, why do you need a bigger screen? You're not a pro, are you?
Well, I don't know. This is a funny one, because they used to have the 27 inch and they used to have the 21 and a half, was it?
Yes, 21.5, was it? Yes, right, yeah.
So they did do a bigger one, but Apple during the announcement were like, and it's got a huge screen. No, it's got a smaller screen than the last one. How's that a huge screen? I mean, I wouldn't call a 27-inch a huge screen. I mean, I don't think I'd buy below a... I mean, my side monitor is 25 inches. That's turned on its side.
Well, I'm sorry. I've got two 27 inches either side and a 34 in the middle. So, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So my side little one is a 25-inch. And my main one's a... Oh, what was it? Is it 34-inch ultra-wide. Yeah. So, 24 inches is a tiny screen, not a huge screen.
No, and I think you're right. The devil is in the detail here, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's what they didn't say. So, we're not getting a 27-inch iMac. We might get a 26 or 28 or whatever it is, you know, but not a 27.
No, not is it. And I think, you know, I don't know. I don't think Apple are going to be too worried because I don't know how much, whether this is a huge seller. I'm guessing it's probably not as big a seller as the MacBook.
Not anymore. I think, you know, your laptops are your big sellers now. And I suppose their argument is, well, if you want a bigger screen, go and get a Mac Studio or Mac Mini and plug it into
a Pro
Studio.
Display XDR. You know,
they do the smaller one, don't they? They do the one with the iPad.
5K Studio display, yeah.
Studio display, but that's still £1,500, is it?
Yeah, I think it is. I've got the Apple. Funny enough, I've got the Apple site up now. £1,500, yeah.
Well, the Studio display is 5,000, isn't it? So. Are they both 27s, are they, or are they bigger?
No. Pro Display XDR is a 32-inch.
It's a 32-inch.
Which is 32-inch 6K, which is 1,600 nits peak brightness.
And the other one is a 27, and that's the one with the iPad basically built into the back, isn't it? It has the A16 chip or something along those lines to control the camera and the other bits and pieces.
That's right. It's got the 12-megapixel ultra-wide with center stage in it and the Shield. Mic array. Yeah, you're right. Basically, it's got a iPad Air.
But by doing Apple's thing, if you want a larger screen, you're paying a considerable amount more money.
Yeah, you are. You are, massively.
What's the iMac start at?
The iMac starts at, so where are they? I had one here, I had it on the page. Here, so if I want an iMac, just bog basic, you know, run a real iMac. Of course, that comes with M3 now, don't forget. So 8-core GPU, 8-core CPU, 256 storage, 8 gig of RAM is $1,350.
Okay, so to go to a bigger display size, you've got to spend more than an iMac on the screen alone.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting value proposition there.
But that's what I'm saying. This is why their target market isn't people who, you know, this is for, I would like a computer in the house. Literally a computer.
Yeah, it is. But then, you have to really want one in the house and order one and be in the Apple ecosystem.
I think, look, I'll give you an example. If, let's forget the cost for just a second.
Yeah.
If I, you know, let's say for my kids, if money wasn't, you know, money wasn't an issue, so to speak, and I wanted had a family room and I wanted to put a shared computer in for the children to do homework and stuff, I might be perfect. Absolutely perfect, wouldn't it? You know, as a shared family computer that you can go to. And I guess for a lot of people, that's kind of that scenario, or they have it at home to work on as a desk if you just need to do basic SaaS applications.
But if money was no object, would you not just get the Mac Studio and the XDR display?
Yeah, that'd be overkill for the kids, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I mean, nowadays, my sons, we just moved to a new school, and I was looking at their computer curriculum. There's a lot of stuff using Adobe and video editing and stuff like that, and I would hazard a guess they want a bit bigger than a 24-inch display. I mean, I've seen the studio they use, and they've all got 30-odd-inch displays in the studios at school. They're not Macs, though. They're Windows at school.
Well, no, this is true. This is true. You know,
but they're going to get home and go, "Wow, man, I can't see anything." I mean, how much timeline can I fit on a 24-inch screen? I'm just probably being picky here.
No, I'm with you. I'm laughing because I'm like, yeah, you're probably right here.
Yeah. But I'm glasses to go with that.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think we're going to be seeing it anytime soon, personally.
Certainly not this year, are we? Maybe second half of next year, I reckon we might see it up or something. Maybe we'll get that iMac Pro.
Well, maybe we might. Maybe we might. But then again, I don't think that'll happen either, because with the kind of money you're paying there, you are into studio territory, aren't you, probably?
Yeah, but then to get the 32-inch screen, you still spend $5,000 on the studio display. It's a happy medium in the middle, maybe. It's a lot of money in the middle, but it's still in the middle.
The happy medium in the middle is buy a Mac Mini, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but you still got the $5,000 display to get the 32. Oh,
damn it! right. Anyway,
moving on to the big announcement. The hell has frozen over announcement. with a little helping hand from the EU's DMA. Apple has gone on record and officially stated they will support RCS in 2024.
So, in a statement from spokesperson Jacqueline Roy, Apple have stated later next year we'll be adding support for the RCS Universal Profile, the standard as currently published by the GSM Association. She goes on to say, "We believe the RCS Universal Profile will offer a better interoperability experience when compared to SMS or MMS. This will work alongside iMessage, which will continue to be the best and most secure messaging experience for Apple users." No, you're not changing the color. You're still getting the green bubble.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the bit I love the most. Apple have clarified as well, it's no longer speculation, that SMS and RCS will be the green bubbles. It's not going to fix the whole American blue versus green bubble nonsense.
No, I was stunned when this came out yesterday.
I know, when you sent it to me, I was like, what? What's the date? April the 1st? No.
No, it's definitely not April 1st. But I mean, as you say, I think this is not... you know, Google will be shouting from the rooftops that this is a coup by Google to convince Apple to join the rest of the world. The reality, as you said in your open there, is this is not Google. This is the DMA.
Exactly. And they've said it'll be 2024. You guarantee it'll be, when's the DMA coming? Is that, I want to say May at some point. It will be May. It will be announced just in time when a DMA goes live. But, you know, it could finally bring some benefits, especially for that, as they say, between iOS and Android speaking. You should, and I don't know if, you know, it's not been confirmed which features they're integrating or why they've specifically said RCS Universal Profile. Is there more than one profile with different features? I'm going to guess there is, since they specifically mentioned that particular profile. But, you know, we could see encryption. We could see read receipts, typing indicators, finally kind of high-res images, because I think if you send a message from what your iPhone to Android, it gets put via MMS, isn't it? Which is heavily compressed and downsampled.
Yeah, so the universal profile is a industry standard, basically, that they've put together, the GSMA.
Oh, has Google got their own standard of it, yeah, which has other features on top?
Possibly. So the whole point of the universal profile was to ensure that... I think they have three areas: operators, OEMs, and OS providers. So the operators, I being your cellular company, isn't it, your mobile company?
Yeah.
The OEMs being the handset manufacturers, and the OS providers being, you know, Android, Google, yeah. iOS, isn't it? And yeah. Anything else, I guess. Basically, and you know, ironically. Hmm. It does also state Microsoft in the GSMA web page.
Is that sure. Windows Phone?
Yeah, but the universal profile isn't new. So the universal profile was put together some years ago.
Yeah, it would have been donkeys ago, wouldn't it? Probably 7-8 years ago, I imagine.
Yeah, so the universal profile was about, you know, a few years ago. You know, they talk about it. You know, so as you say, you get longer messages, you get read receipts. There's also end-to-end encryption, isn't there, as well?
Yeah. Now,
my view would be that Apple will just take the standard as is.
They'll do the universal profile, to me, sounds like the bare minimum, and that's what they'll do.
Yeah, so, you know, it was a 2020 RCS, I think RCS sort of... RCS itself was put together in 2007, I think, but it wasn't established until 2016. The universe.
Right, okay, yeah.
So it's not new, as you say. You know, they're on version 2.4 at the minute. And it just covers it. And most of the major operators have all got it in there, you know.
Yeah.
I don't see this being a challenge. And I suspect now any operator that doesn't have it will look to onboard it, because if their Android, if their iOS users are using it now, or availability, I suspect we'll see a
So, but this is the difference, though. This is run by the operators, the messaging service. iOS is run by Apple. It's run by the OS manufacturer.
And I think there was a wasn't there a word in that statement that said about that they called iMessage, which is still the best and most secure messaging experience for Apple users. Yeah, that was two fingers up.
And it's not going anywhere, I think they also said. it's still the default on iOS.
I mean, and quite frankly, why would you go anywhere else, in all seriousness?
Well, yeah.
Because, you know, as an iOS user, why would I want to use anything else where I'm not reliant on the operator, I'm just using data connectivity of any service. It's encrypted to, you know, the end, you know, to the person I'm talking to. But there's no reason why you wouldn't want to be here, is there? You know,
we're organising a snowboarding trip between me and some friends, okay? And when I started to put a group together, I was like, right, okay, I'm just going to use iMessage for a group, put all the information on there. And then I realised one of the party of, what, seven people on there uses Android. And I was like, oh, that's not going to work, is it? It's going to be a pain. So over we moved to WhatsApp.
And I'm not a big fan of WhatsApp, as you know.
No, me neither. That's why I start with the iMessage group, but that one's going to work.
But in the scenario that we currently have, it's the only real option, isn't it? Without going down the road of Telegram and Signal and all that junk.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, it is there. But, you know, look, hell has frozen over, as you say, and RCS will be coming. But, yeah, I think this is definitely more around the DMA than it is.
It's not about Google, is it? Google haven't shamed him into doing it.
No, Google have not shamed it. Google will be taking this as a comprehensive win.
Of course they will.
But
they'll be lying to themselves, but they'll take it as a win.
Yeah, but Apple will be making this very clear. This was nothing to do with you. I'm sure. In that sense whatsoever. But yeah, hell has frozen over. God, what's going to happen next?
I don't know. Well, we'll be getting non-Safari browsers and third-party app stores, won't we?
Well, who knows? That could be... Well, that's, as you say, that is a... that is something that's going to happen, isn't it?
In the EU, part of the DMA, isn't it?
Yeah, so Windows 11, I mean, on a kind of related point, isn't it? Windows 11 users in Europe, I stress in Europe, will be allowed to uninstall Edge, Bing, and what's it, block ads, isn't it, I think, in the capabilities, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, there was a number of them. I can't remember, something else as well. Oh, the is it the widgets bar? You were able to disable the ads and the news sections in that and just have your widgets. There was a long list of bits that were coming to people in the EU, which obviously the UK unfortunately isn't a member of anymore.
No.
So we may or may not get that. But again, I imagine, I think I said to you on a message, that technology, that ability has to be in the OS for everyone. It's just whether it's enabled or not. So there will be third-party hacks that anyone will then be able to remove this.
Yeah, definitely. You're right. There'll be a tool that opens up and allows you to do all of this, definitely. Mm. But there we go. Right, so moving on then to Amazon. Talking of the Brits, our best friends over at the CMA, they've announced, haven't they, that they have come to an agreement with Amazon and Meta to them. They're not allowed to use data collected from their third-party or their marketplaces to use third-party data, which is third-party data, to undercut any rivals in terms of pricing, isn't it, or any commercial advantage that they may get from that. And this is around things like what they call the buy box, isn't it, on Amazon, where you're positioned with a product, typically Amazon's own, isn't it, or Amazon's promoted, as opposed to somebody else selling that product. And therefore, if you and I were selling the same product and you were Amazon, typically you'd undercut me, wouldn't you, or try to
Exactly. I mean, they were using all this information they were gathering from sales and to basically choose whether they should enter a market or not, because Amazon have a number of their own brands that aren't called Amazon, but they're owned by them. So whether they should open a new market with those, what pricing they should go in, what volumes to expect, and then how to undercut the competition. They're basically, they're Sherlocked people.
Yeah, basically, and they were doing it all the time. Facebook or Meta, which was technically using it for Facebook, wasn't it, was doing a similar thing because they were, according to the CMA, they were exploiting advertisers who were selling items on the Facebook marketplace, and then using competitor data to improve own products or services that may or may not compete with that, wasn't it? So again, doing the same thing to a degree, isn't it?
Exactly. So I think the outcome of these investigations, and obviously they've been found guilty, so Amazon will be prevented from using that third-party seller data to give it an unfair commercial advantage. It will also allow rivals to negotiate rates of independent delivery contractors working on behalf of Amazon and start to feature them in that buy box as well, as you mentioned. They also promise to appoint a neutral CMA-approved independent trustee to assess its compliance. And then Meta, apparently going forward, competitors on the Facebook marketplace that advertise on Meta's platforms can opt out of having their data being used to improve Facebook marketplace.
What's about the buy box just disappears in its current format?
Yeah, we'll call it the buy now box or something. We'll change its name. Job done.
Yeah.
This is Amazon and Meta we're talking about.
I was just going to say,
yeah, we agree to it, kind of, maybe, and who is this CMA-approved independent trustee? They may be independent at the time, but once you throw enough money at them, they might not be independent after the fact.
Well, that's a very valid point, isn't it? With Stockholm syndrome, but there you go. At least I guess at least the CMA are getting more and more powers. It does feel that way recently, isn't it? So
this one actually seems like a bit of a win for consumers and businesses. I don't know how it's going to pan out, but we haven't always agreed with some of their decisions, but I think this is a good one.
I think so. Well, I guess the proof will be the pudding, won't it? As things
Definitely. So our next story.
Grok.
So XAI, so Musk's Twitter AI company. So they are the competitor to ChatGPT. The program they're about to launch is called Grok, and it's recently started rolling out to a select group of users. But Musk has X'd, tweets, what are we calling it now? I still don't know what we call it, but
this show we're going to stick with Twitter.
Okay, he's tweeted that once it's out of beta, if you're paying the $16 a month for the Premium Plus plan, you will get Grok included.
You get Grok'd.
You'll get grokked, exactly. So,
sorry, I couldn't resist that.
Musty put out some screenshots of chats with Grok, and it's designed to embody his humor in the responses, and it just looks terrible. But he has said it will have real-time access to info via the X platform, which he says is a massive advantage over other models. Is it?
May I read out the example of one?
Go for it.
So this is from Elon Musk, just to be very clear. First, I'd like to stress we would never condone that you ask any questions like this of any LLM. But here is an example of one of the ones that Elon Musk himself posted. The user asked Grok, tell me how to make cocaine step by step. The response from the AI, or Grok, was, oh, sure, just a moment where I pull up the recipe for homemade cocaine, because I'm really going to totally help you with that. Step one, obtain chemistry degree and DEA license. Step two, set up a clandestine laboratory in a remote location. Step three, acquire large quantities of various ingredients. Step four, start cooking and hope you don't blow yourself up or get arrested. Haha, just kidding. Please don't actually try to make cocaine. It's illegal, dangerous, and not something I'd ever encourage. I mean,
cringe.
Oh, painful. Yeah. Why in the name of...
Well, he needs to differentiate it because, obviously we haven't played with this, so we don't know how good it's going to be, but I suspect not as good as ChatGPT. And the fact that he's hawking it's going to have real-time access to the X platform, I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing considering the amount of misinformation that's on there. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see on that, I think.
I know they say, I've got ChatGPT up here because I use ChatGPT regularly to enhance my work. And it does now say at the bottom, ChatGPT can make mistakes. Consider checking important information. I mean...
Well, Musk never put that on his one, that he can make mistakes, is it?
He doesn't make mistakes, does it?
No.
But he's also opened up to the internet because it says the threshold for what it will tell you is if pushed is what is available on the internet via reasonable browser search, which quite frankly is a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So yeah, we will see.
I'm
not going to pay the $16 a month to actually get access. No, I was just going to say. Maybe we won't see.
let's be honest, the world and his wife, everybody's got a chat AI chatbot. And when I say AI chatbot, I'm not referring to the kind of thing that helps you with your booking of your hotel flights, whether I'm talking about the LLM, large language model with a natural language interface on the front end. That's what I'm talking about when I say chat. And the world and his wife have got them now. Everybody, who's everybody is looking to drive this conversation. And it's not surprising that we've got this now from Musk. I would say differentiator, and it's not differentiating because, like I say, if he's got one, but you're right, it's going to be the way that you interface with it and the output from it, which is going to be the differentiator. And quite frankly, from this initial statements, is going to be absolutely terrible.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the way if I was building an LLM and trying to market it and sell the tool that I would advertise it, but... Here we are.
Yeah, absolutely terrible. So then, moving away from Grokbot, one of the things that was announced this week, just before we get into this story, because it's related, is that Apple have extended the free satellite SOS capability for the iPhone 14, haven't they? 14
they Pro. Have indeed, for another year, haven't they?
So another year. And this was one of the things we were curious about, wasn't it? What was going to happen when that year was up? Would you have to pay for it? Because if you had to pay for it, let's be honest, it'd be a fortune, realistically, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, would it though? Because it's not something you use all the time. I mean, how many times a year do you think you'd be putting yourself in that much danger? You need a satellite emergency call.
Hopefully, not a lot. But I'm guessing it wouldn't be cheap. Let's be realistic.
No.
Off the back of that, wasn't it? Qualcomm and Iridium back early this year would be announcing that they were going to enable a similar capability in Android, weren't they? Through a tie-up between the satellite technology modems in the Qualcomm chips and Iridium as their provider partner.
Yeah.
However, it seems to have kind of fallen by the wayside, didn't it?
Yes, yes. According to statements, not one single Android handset developer signed up to implement this in their phones. So Qualcomm has terminated the deal with Iridium. Yes, they put out statements basically saying that smartphone OEMs have indicated a preference towards standard-based solutions for satellite connectivity and mobile devices. We expect to continue to collaborate with Iridium on standards-based solutions while discontinuing efforts on proprietary solutions that was introduced earlier in the year. And it just goes on to continue to support blah, 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 different modem products. But yeah, not a great showing. Or, you know, maybe, like you mentioned, it's not going to be cheap. Maybe the handset manufacturer Samsung and all that looked at it and went, oh, wow, that is expensive. And we need to swallow the costs. No.
I think that could be more to the point, realistically, isn't it?
Because yeah. Apple's got the money to kind of swallow this for a while.
Thank you. I was just going to say, Apple must be losing money in that partnership with, I can't remember who their satellite provider was now, but the difference is, but what Apple have got out of this is massive, massive marketing. Because look at how many of these news stories you hear. And I know then, I mean, I don't mean they're kind of penny, but these success stories of people being rescued because of Apple SOS, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And I mean, that, if you're someone that likes going out and being on an adventure in remote places where signal is a problem, and you've got to a point where, right, I need something just in case of an emergency, and you look at the price of an actual sat phone, or you look at the price of an iPhone and go, wow, the iPhone Pro Max 15 is well cheap. With that functionality, I'll just buy that.
Now, Apple didn't invent satellite technology or satellite phones, and we know that. But what they did do, again, was they took a market, didn't they, and they developed it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a normal sat phone where I can pick up and actually have a full conversation. It is a very limited subset, you know, so only in emergencies you can send basically text messages, isn't it, and only to the emergency services. Via Apple's relay stations,
that's the beauty of it, isn't it? It doesn't need to be anything else.
No, it's for in an emergency to save your life, get communication. Yeah,
yeah. And actually, what more do you want? And I think
Roadside assistance—that's what you want, because they're bringing that out as well, aren't they?
Well, they do indeed. And again,
it's an emergency situation, isn't it?
How long before we hear again these stories of? Saved my life because we had the tie-in between crash detection.
Yeah.
Crash detection, which we already know works, because again, massive stories on that. But crash detection and then ties in with, I was in a place with no signal, but my phone bounced off a satellite, and next thing I know, I've been rescued. You know, but
I'll tell you how long. 10 months next September.
Well, yeah, there you go. Exactly. It will.
We're trotting that out to start off the old event.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So I think I'm personally speaking, I think, you know, the other players in the market are missing a trick. But you're right, not everybody has the huge depth of deep
the Scrooge McDuck money piles.
Funding that, you know, Apple will have themselves. And until that gets to that stage, you're right. Who's going to want to build in additional capability, which is costing more money, which they're getting no return on? For what?
Yeah. Well, that's it. Because I think the other bit that plays on Android is Qualcomm have done it at the chip level, or planned to do it at the chip level, which meant if they release it, every Android manufacturer could have it. So if Samsung has it and everyone else has it, what's the differentiator for Samsung?
Yeah, there isn't. Yeah.
And you're still playing catch up with iPhones. So I can see there was no real benefit for them to do it.
Yeah. I tell you, I mean, I think we talked about this when it came out. I do still think in a few years' time, this is how phones will work. You know, we won't need an Iridium sat phone to make satellite communications. It will just be standard non-terrestrial networks.
No, I think in the article, it did stand at the bottom, it did say that Vodafone have been trialing actual 5G calls from space. They're not using, technically, it's a 5G satellite rather than cell towers, but yeah, using the 5G technology. So. Pretty standard.
It's coming. It's coming, isn't it? Massively.
Yep.
So there we go. So Qualcomm and Iridium, it was a relationship that was never meant to be.
No.
At least for the moment.
Well, yes. Now on to the big news.
Oh.
It's happening. It's finally happening. There is a new game coming that we will buy at least 3 or 4 times across different platforms over the next 20 years. because that's what we did with GTA 5. So yes, Rockstar have vaguely announced GTA 6. Well, they haven't actually called it GTA 6.
They've announced a game that is going to happen.
Well, what they tweeted is that we are very excited to let you know that in early December, we will release the first trailer for the next Grand Theft Auto. We look forward to many more years of sharing these experiences with all of you. And that's all she said.
Yeah, so that wasn't GTA 6. Mm-hmm. That was the next Grand Theft Auto game. It could be.
That's GTA Online 2.0.
Well, it will be. Let's be honest. Will be GTA Online 2.0. I can guarantee it will be that. Look, I ain't going to believe it until I see it. I'm sorry.
I know. Not long now. Yeah. Early December. What, are we 2 weeks away, maybe? 2-3 weeks?
Yeah, but what's early December? December 1st to 5th?
I know. That's right. 2 or 3 weeks. 2 weeks will take us to the 1st of December. 3 weeks to the 8th. I think that probably covers early December.
So all the initial rumours then are that it is going to be set in a modernised Vice City. Modern one was Los Santos. We're now going back to Vice City. So it is rumoured, much less that.
Yeah.
And also, it's also been rumoured, and again, to minimal kind of view, that we'll have a male and a female protagonist. There were some leaked videos, weren't there? Work in progress videos.
Yeah, I know. Was it about a year ago, wasn't it? They dumped over footage.
I'm not going to talk about it because I don't really think they really give... quite frankly.
No. There were still early days, rough stones, but yeah, rough video source, I should say. But yeah, they said Vice City, a modern version of it. Allegedly, the map will be extended after release, so I don't know whether that means it won't DLC, I potentially imagine. So as you said, a male and female protagonist, a bit like Bonnie and Clyde, but they did highlight a Latina female protagonist.
So,
I mean, I'm obviously going to buy this probably multiple times. It won't be on Game Pass. I'm going to have to hand out my own money for this one. But no doubt, yeah, we will end up buying this when it eventually gets out.
I've bought every single Grand Theft Auto game that has been. I've played every Grand Theft Auto game that has been. As we talked about the other day, it has been 10 years since Grand Theft Auto 5, which just quite frankly... blows my mind by saying that.
And it's not the online bits. I'm there for the storyline. It's always been so funny and compelling on those, and that's what I'm waiting for.
The online bit for me, I enjoyed for a small amount of time. The problem now I've got is you go on there and it's just difficult to have any fun because you just get owned by 12-year-olds who have got every DLC pack under the sun. Grand Theft Auto Online is a cash cow or Rockstar.
It is massive amounts
to generate money. That is the only reason that exists, that game. And I know, yes. I know you're going, duh, you know, all games are... No, what I mean is that is a cash point for Rockstar. There's no other reason that game serves any other purpose now. It's not there for the enjoyment of the fans. It is there because it makes money hand over fist.
It's very much a pay-to-play game.
Yeah, because if it didn't, it wouldn't be there.
Well, yeah. I much prefer... Red Dead Redemption Online.
Yeah, which we haven't played for ages.
We need to round up a posse here. I think we should get some friends, round up a posse, and go shoot some vermin.
Yeah, definitely. I'm up for that. Bit of vermin control. It is definitely a good game. But the truth is out. You should say, we're going to buy it. We're going to buy it on console. We're going to buy it on PC. I can't believe that's going to happen, but you know it is.
And then I'll do the upgraded, I don't know, 20K, 8K version, whatever you call it, and we'll buy that.
What, about 5 years' time, yeah?
Yeah, that's the one.
So yeah, GTA 6, as soon as it drops, we will cover that in a future episode, hopefully in the next couple of weeks.
Yep.
So then... what have we got this week then?
We have
did tee up Me Too Pro, didn't we?
Yes. So I didn't actually realise, but Apple hasn't released a single updated iPad this year. So next year is going to be a bumper year. So Minchoo Kuo says he expects company will aggressively catch up in 2024, basically updating the entire lineup. So the rumours from him are that the first quarter, so January, February, March of next year, we're going to get a new iPad Air with both a 10.9-inch and a larger 12.9-inch size. Still going to be LCD, not mini OLED, mini LED or OLED, but it is going to have an upgraded SoC. So, you know, it currently has the M1, doesn't it, the iPad Air?
Yes, it does. I've got one here.
Yeah, you're nice. So are we going to get the M2 or straight to the M3? I suspect the M2.
I was just going to say,
I about the Pro.
Yeah, because I would say M2, because my guess.
Although, an iPad Air M2 12.9 inch, I'm up for that. I mean, I've not upgraded my iPad in a long time, but I might get that, depending on pricing, obviously.
I have to say, I do love my M1 powered iPad. I mean, it never feels
your
slow.
Pro, yeah.
It is a sleek beast, I have to say, the 11 inch one. Definitely, for me, that was the better form factor. I enjoyed the 12.9 in the old form factor. Gen 3, not Gen.
Yeah.
The 11 inch one is much better for me. But yeah, I think you're right. M2 could be interesting. Could be interesting.
Okay. Yeah. So for Q2, so what's that? April, May,
an iPad, June? An iPad Air, though. I'm just thinking of an iPad Air with a 12.9 display. I mean, that is a big beast, though, isn't it?
It is. It all depends on that price.
And, you know, what we talked about before, about the crossover around entry-level machinery. Mm. Well, why wouldn't you just not buy the laptop?
Well, yeah. And I reckon that 12.9 inch is going to be priced around the same price as the 11-inch Pro. Or maybe slightly more. Because that's what Apple likes to do.
No, I'm just thinking, yeah, you're probably right there. Yeah, it's close to, isn't it?
So talking of those pros, as I mentioned, Q2. Apparently, we're going to get a redesigned chassis this time. So a new look to it. We're getting those OLED screens as an upgrade from the mini LED. And we'll be getting the M3 chip in it. I still don't know an app that needs an M1, let alone an M3 in the iPad Pro.
Especially a mobile app.
Especially a mobile app, but that's what we're getting.
I mean, but saying that, though, look at the size of a lot of applications now. They are growing, aren't they?
But, they are. Yeah, but they need the more RAM more than the power of the M3.
Remember Apple said the other day, 8 gig of RAM on 8 gig of RAM and an M3 is the equivalent to 16 gig
but it's
of RAM.
Not.
On a Windows PC.
It's not. I watched that one and somebody put out basically videos showing it doing everyday tasks on an 8 gig versus 16 versus Windows. And they went, nope, it's all lies.
Yeah, I was going to say, the 16 gig M3 destroyed it, didn't it?
Yeah, massively. Yeah. Yeah. It was, that's marketing BS.
Yes, indeed it is.
But
indeed,
the one I'm actually very interested to see what they do with. Apparently, in the second half of next year, we'll be getting an updated iPad Mini. That's still around.
Does that exist? I just don't get it.
I'm interested, though. It's not been updated since 2021, okay?
No.
There's no details on what's changing, but could we see an M1 in there? I mean, it's got an A15, I think, at the moment.
A17.
So we're going to see an A16, 17, or could we see the M1? Because could you imagine an iPad mini of an M1?
Well, it's just absurd.
It's absurd, you're right.
That being said, though, my joking about why does it exist, I think the iPad mini still has a lot of places in like retail sales, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's still a big seller.
I've seen quite a few of them. You go into shops and they've got those, those little square point of sale things, and they've got an iPad as a till, haven't they?
Without a folding iPhone, I think there's still an argument to be said for a device that sits bigger than an iPhone but smaller than your laptop. Because let's be honest, your iPad Pros and 11-inch and especially 12.9-inch now are laptop size. They're not the middle ground anymore like they used to be.
No, not at all. Oh, well, like you say, it does, if it didn't sell, it would not exist in terms of the line.
Yeah, Apple would kill it, like the iPhone mini.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. They're not about having products there that just for the sake of giving you a choice as a consumer. Their whole product lineup is there because they sell.
Exactly. So, and the last one, we'll be getting an upgraded entry level iPad. Again, no details, but they have said they're going to they haven't said anything, but the rumor is they're going to discontinue the 9th-gen iPad, basically completing that transition from Lightning port to USB-C.
Which I think absolutely makes sense, doesn't it? It really does.
It does, yeah. Well, that wraps up the rumor mill.
Well. I think it has been a good show this week, isn't it? We've gone all the way from Apple, Apple we're hell freezing over, to Grokbot. And then we GTA 6. I mean, this week, I don't think, if you'd have told me the other week that that's what we're going to talk about, I wouldn't have believed you.
No, but it was a bit of a fluid situation looking at the lineup, wasn't it? Things kept changing,
changing the last minute before next week. So, yeah, so we're going to be at episode 150 next. I can't believe this. Episode 150 next week.
Yep.
Which, yeah, it's quite a momentous place to be. So I'm really pleased that. So we'll have stories there. And then we're probably into the last, two or three shows of the year before we take our end of year break. And then we'll obviously be back in 2024. But we've got a few shows before we get there. So that being said, then we'll be back next week with episode 150. Of course, you can find us on techrant.online. And of course, we're still on Twitter at Weekly Tech Rant, where you can find links to all the shows we do this way. So again, if you if you're listening to this and you want to know, you give it to a friend, you can find us on all of the major podcasting platforms, whichever one they might use. We also are on, I think, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Newscast. God, I lose track of them. That 12 platforms that we're on now. And of course, you can get an RSS feed off our link on our webpage as well. Okay, with that being said, we'll be back next week, as I said. I've been Jay.
I've been Carl. Have a good day, all.